It is time to look at what the WASD numbers had to say and really how these markets reacted from the algorithms to the humans digesting all the information. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Brian Split joins us today with AgMarket.net. So let's talk about this WASD. It did not look pretty when you looked at those futures numbers for the corn. But overall, what was your takeaway of all that information?
Susan, this was probably about as bad of a report as we could have gotten. There was a lot of recency bias heading into this report with what the USDA did last year. And similar to last year, we did have a very dry August this year. We bottomed in August this year, just like we did last year at very similar prices. We had rallied and consolidated into the report just like last year at similar values. But the USDA did not lower yield. They actually raised yield by a half of a bushel. So that puts it at 186.5. Now, on top of that, and there's been some increases in planted acres in some of the previous months' WASD reports going back to August. Now we saw an additional increase in harvested area. That was an increase of 1.3% above the September estimate. And that accounts for about 1.211 million acres of additional harvested corn on a higher yield. Now, the problem here is we also saw the carry-in from last year increase because they reduced the feed residual for last year. And therein lies the problem, because right now, with today's increase on feed residual demand on this year's balance sheet, it puts it over 700 million bushels above last year's feed residual number, and it makes it look really silly. They should be reducing feed residual, and instead they're adding to it because production went up, more of a procedural number. And now this sets the stage where if they come back to reality over the next several months, it's very hard to justify feed residual 700 plus million bushels above last year's number. So could we eventually be working into a carryout for corn that is potentially 2.5 billion bushels or higher for old crop? Very conceivable, and the export market and corn for ethanol are going to continue to have to do some extremely heavy lifting over the next several months, the remainder of the marketing year, to really counter that possibility.
As you look at that, I mean, to see the numbers increase when many folks had expected to see a back off, do we see obviously the negativity that we've got going on in the trade action today, is this going to continue into the overnight into tomorrow, giving you guys more of a chance to digest what this all has to say?
Well, depending on how we close today, generally with, you know, very bearish or very bullish reports, it would not be uncommon to close near the high or the low of the day. So in this case, being a bearish report near the low of the day, and we're probably likely to see some follow through tomorrow, at least early. It wouldn't surprise me if some buying came in on a little bit lower trade tomorrow. We are getting within 10 cents of contract lows. The March contract low is at 410. And so thus far, we have seen some trade here down to the 420 level. So there's a little bit of room here relative to contract lows where you might start to see some buying come in from some bargain buyers saying, hey, I'm going to step in here and I'm going to risk a little bit and get out if we make a new low. I think you're going to see that show up tomorrow. But this is going to make it really difficult. And when you look at what we did technically, we had staged some monthly lows in the same general area. So the low for the month before today on March corn was 436 and a quarter. The December monthly low was 435 and a half. The November monthly low was 434 and a half. So you had all of these major lows staged right alongside each other. So we blew through all that today. Now that shelf is going to be some very difficult resistance. So 435, very tough spot now as far as overhead shelf. But not only did we take out those lows, we took out the October low, which was at 425 and a half. And unless we get some recovery here late in the day, we'll close below that. So we're doing a tremendous amount of technical damage today to the corn chart. And it's going to really put ourselves in a situation here where not only does old crop, become a problem moving forward, but we really have to think about what this means for new crop as well.
You know, Brian, while the market's been focusing on what this WASD report would say, there are other things happening in the background, some outside market influence that also could eventually weigh in. And metals and silver is one area that's being looked at.
Yes, Susan, the metal markets have been rather extraordinary during 2025. We are starting 2026 on the same note. The silver market today, and we've settled about a half hour ago, but as the market's trading, we're up a little over 7% on the session. It's not just silver and gold. You're seeing metals like platinum and palladium also participate. Copper has made some new record all-time highs recently. But there's probably a trifecta of reasons why the silver market especially is garnering a lot of interest. There is a assumed short position from large financial institutions around the world. And we continue to hear that, you know, this entity was forced to exit or that entity was forced to exit. So apparently when Bear Stearns went under, J.P. Morgan assumed a large majority of that book, and there was a large silver short position in that book that they inherited, and they used that position to suppress prices for quite a while they bought physical silver, and then they lent that physical silver to other banks to go short against. And so we have kind of this major financial institution money flow. You know, were they suppressing prices? That's a whole theory that is very possible. But really, the fundamental case here is that we've been using more silver than what has been coming out of the ground for the last 5 years. And our usage just continues to go up every year as we build more solar panels and more electric vehicles. Every electric vehicle uses somewhere between 25 and 50 grams of silver. And then it's tied up in that vehicle for years. Recycling these batteries is not an easy endeavor, nor is it cheap. So it's not to the point where everyone's going out here to recycle these batteries for the silver content yet. It may become a beneficial endeavor in the future if the price of silver continues to move higher, and maybe that's part of the job of what it's doing. We look at all of the usage in China, over 200 million ounces a year. It's over 100 million ounce deficit just in China every year between all of the solar and electric vehicles. Not to mention everything that has to do with AI, all the infrastructure, the chips. Silver is the best conductor of electricity on the periodic table. And then you think about national defense. So we as a nation, the United States, listed silver as a critical mineral in late 2025. And very simply put, one Tomahawk missile uses 500 ounces of silver. So between the AI race, which I think is a race that China and the U.S. are competing aggressively, between that and the actual use of ballistic missiles, you've got two major components of national security moving forward that rely on silver. So there's a major fundamental backdrop between what is happening right now, and it appears that silver is going through a major repricing event. This also portends the idea of de-dollarization, and those that are holding dollars versus hard assets are losing buying power. And that is maybe the thing that, if this is the actual occurrence here, big picture, long term, then that's something that should be a concern for everybody in America that holds dollars.
What about the discussion as we wrap this up today, Brian, the discussion that has been happening between President Trump and the Fed chair? We know that every time the Fed makes an announcement, we do see some effects on the ag side. And now we've got this tit for tat going on leading into the next conversation with the Fed Reserve.
Yeah, that has been, as you mentioned, tit for tat. Now we're looking at, construction budgets, and I think this is just a means to an end to get the next guy in there at the Fed. It's going to be around the corner anyway. Then you'll have somebody in there that is likely to do what President Trump wants to do, and that's to lower rates and more aggressively so. So this just then leads us right back to the idea of if we're going to see a lower interest rate policy, further de-dollarization, that would be an inflationary environment. Maybe that's the best long-term case for grains after a bearish report like today, is that there is a rather inflationary environment building around us.
And finally, you guys do have a big event coming up, and I encourage folks to find out more details, especially if they're going to be headed to NCBA. What a great opportunity to listen to what we talked about today, but more in depth with a variety of different topics.
Yes, Susan, we do have a really great lineup. It'll encounter information from the commercial side of things, how the cash market operates, the way they view things. Very good weather from Eric Snodgrass. Everybody probably knows his name. I'll be presenting a technical outlook. We have the CME chief economist coming in from London to give a 50,000-foot view of over what's going on, big picture throughout all of the markets, currencies, commodities, equities. So it's a very good informational outlook, and not to mention we've got our cattle outlook leading right into the cattle conference that's going to be in Nashville right after our conference wraps up. So timing couldn't be better.
And where do they go for more information?
Just go to our website, www.agmarket.net. There's a banner right on top. Click on it and register, and then get your hotel room secured.
All right. That is a Monday market wrap-up. A quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. You're listening to the American Ag Network.